Hey, welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show.
He just ripped Alan's head off with his headphones.
459, right? Episode 59?
Yeah.
Are we doing a promo?
Absolutely.
Washko, welcoming you to the 59th episode, November 17th, 2004, Linux Link Tech Show.
That's right. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Go over the promo.
Hi, I'm Matt from Lugger Radio in the UK.
Oh, that is so jolly.
Who was that? CBBC presenter?
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm interviewing Blue Trunks.
I was doing my impression.
Anyway, we're Lug Radio.
I was doing my impression of Dan there because, you know,
it looks like
he's jolly when he does his nose. No, Alan, who looks like Hack. But Dan's a
Which is what looks like me?
Alan.
He doesn't look like
me. Lincoln's got the tall hat, so you remember.
Is his name actually Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Is his surname Lincoln?
No, his surname's Fessler.
His name's not Lincoln Lincoln. His name's Lincoln Abraham.
Link on.
The link on to Linux. Link,
anyway,
link,
again,
link, link,
we're
link,
Lug Radio. Yeah, we're Lug Radio over in the UK. That's lugradio.org. Come along to our website.
We're British as well. We drink. We like drinking.
Cavemen.
Not on the point of time,
Yar.
So anyway, we're going to
Lug Radio
because we've only been given about 30 seconds. Come and listen to Lug Radio. Lugradio.org. I'm sure you'll like. If you like the Linux link tech link show, I'm sure you'll like Lug Radio.
Hey, this is Kevin, host of In the Trenches, the podcast for sysadmins, and you're listening to the Linux Link Tech Show. Long live OS X.
Yeah.
That was Kevin.
Right? Kevin Devon from In the Trenches, right? And Devin. The fine folks are British buds over there at Lug Radio.
I still have not listened to any of the new shows.
Oh, you got to do it. They got episode 3 is out.
Say
yet,
three.
Man. What the
I
hell is wrong with you, the other
man? Did they have a podcast up yet? That's the problem.
No.
Every time
no,
I sit
you,
down.
You just download it and transfer
yeah,
it over
man,
by hand.
I'm lazy.
Do the thing because, you know, they're going to get pissed off at you if you're not listening to this show.
Just do it.
Because you should be. Because just they, you know, their new shows are good, too, so. Check them out. Or something.
Yeah. What are you going to do, huh?
I don't know. Hey, I'm just happy I got my laptop fixed.
I'm happy for you, too.
I need to make a public service announcement about that. This show, episode 59, all its music and all the good stuff that's coming from this show is brought to you care of my buddy Carl Whitmore, my mechanical type friend who not only helped me fix my damn broken laptop, but did an oil change on my car as well.
Ooh,
that's cool. A friend right there, let me tell you. And I told him that, you know, I said, dude, I'm going to make sure that I mention you in the show. So there you go.
Way.
Yeah, and I got hair on my microphone fuzzy nose.
On the clown nose?
Yeah, my clown nose. That sucks, man.
It's a hairy clown
little
nose.
Cat hairs going on there. Yeah, you know, I keep it in a little bag and everything too, so it doesn't like get all crustified.
It's cat hairs; they get everywhere.
I don't know how the hell it got in there through two or three different bags and stuff like that.
I have a question for you. You know, we were trying to find some royalty-free music.
Where are you now?
Well, we've been talking about that for months now, right?
Is that what you've been talking about?
To go to. I heard.
I haven't been listening to your show, Dan.
Adam Curry.
I've been too busy because it's not podcasted.
What?
Never mind. Just go.
I've heard Adam Curry talk about GarageBand.com.
Right.
And I'm on their site, and I was looking at it for the past 15 minutes. Is that royalty-free?
He beats the hell out of me, man.
Because I can't tell. And I even signed up.
Isn't it a Mac thing or something? Because I'm not.
No, you have to get a GarageBand from iLife.
Okay.
No, there's a GarageBand.com.
Oh, because like, I don't do the Mac.
Which is independent music. But I'm trying to see whether you're allowed to broadcast it. And there's nothing on there that says you can, and there's nothing on there that says you can't.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
So I'm not sure. I mean, it might be an excellent repository for music that we can use.
And it might be at that, as a matter of fact.
But I'm still trying to figure out whether you can actually broadcast it or not. There's nothing about a license on here.
So does this mean that you're going to make me talk the whole time because
no.
you're busy checking your website out?
No.
And it's up to you, Alan. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's Alan for you.
I need to get the sound. I need to get like a cricket sound here for whenever that happens. We need that in the background throughout the show.
Something, yeah.
So Big Maze 52 just found the show.
Huh?
Just found the show.
Yes,
Big
welcome.
Maze 52.
Big Maze 52, yeah.
All right. Or something.
He's listened to lots of others, still decided to come back and check it out. And
he's listened to lots of others before he listened to
others? No, did he listen to other shows? Is that our show, or is that somebody else's show?
Tap up the levels a bit.
Tap up the levels a little bit.
Yeah, I thought when I talked, I was blowing
nice
you out of
nice and loud.
No, but is that previous shows of ours or other people's shows? That's the question. And Alan, you should be asking that question on the chat right now.
I'm reading it as you talk.
I'm reading it as I talk too. Anyway,
I'm not.
Big news this week. Patrick Volkerdig.
Yes.
Volkerdig, right?
Volkerding.
Volkerdig is he in the hospital or is he not in the hospital?
I know.
Recuperating.
I think he's looking for some place to go.
It's hard to. The way he made it sound is like he's scheduled to go in like Friday or something for tests.
He's at his parents in Montana?
No.
I thought it was California or something like
no,
that.
No, he lived in California. I thought he went to Montana.
I don't know. I'd have to read it again.
The gist of the article is
he's sick, right? And he's like one of our favorite guys because he's the developer and maintainer of Slackware, which is what we all use because Slackware is, of course,
the greatest.
Cooler than any other Linux.
Does it beat Debian?
Debian.
Don't know. No comments.
Okay. Wait. Right it's there. Speaking of, and I got to do this now because that's a cool lead-in for it. Speaking of Debian and
South Dakota
screwing up pronunciations of stuff like that.
North Dakota.
there's a new podcast in town called the Linux Log Podcast. Have you guys heard of this yet?
No.
The Linux Log Podcast, right?
Okay.
And you can find the actual. Somebody put this on the chat for us. You can find the actual site for it at linux.quicksurf.com, QUICKSURF.com. And of course, you can get his podcast link off of that website. And I'll put that on there, too, when I get a second. But
Fargo, North Dakota.
I've been listening to this, right? And although the guy's pretty dry, I'll give him that. And he goes through, like, some articles. You know, he, like, aggregates articles about Linux and things like that. And
I found this, but I don't listen to it regularly because
based on the popularity of the said article, right, is what he bases what he does his podcast on, and he's like he's getting better. You know what I mean? Like I listen to a couple of his podcasts, he's getting better, and
where's his podcast?
He's working on it. You can't find it yet.
Wait, I'm on his site.
Okay, look, man. I'm going to put
Linux.quicksurf.com.
I'm putting it right now. I'm going to put it into the IRC.
What, his site or his podcast?
There's the podcast link, okay? Linux.quicksurf.com/wp-rss2.php?cat=78.
It'll work.
You can find that in the in our chat log, by the way. For those of you listening now, well, listening later when we're broadcasting now or something like that. Anyway, back to this guy. He's a little bit dry, but he's doing this thing. He's getting a lot better, and I expect good things to come of this particular podcast. Although he has yet to mention our show, which sort of, you know.
Maybe he doesn't know about our show.
Well, you know, well, that's no excuse, you know. It's like ignorance is no excuse or no excuse why you
can't
follow the
law. We're such a tough crowd here.
You know?
Why?
Exactly. Why? Listen to the damn show. Anyway, listen. I'm listening to a show.
I can't find the podcast link on his...
I put the damn thing on the IRC chat.
How did you find it?
I went to iPodder.org and looked through the directory. I don't know if he's anywhere else, but he's on iPodder.org under the technology section somewhere or something. Anyway. I found him and I'm listening to him. But listen, there's one thing that really annoys the hell out of me about this guy's show. And it's this whole pronunciation thing, like the Debian, Debian thing. You know, like we pick on it and call it Debian all the time, but it's really Debian. And like we really know that. Okay, so don't get offended. If we go Debian, we're just picking on you. This guy consistently says Linux. And I capped some stuff off of his podcast today to give you a quick promo of what it is. And he really is annoying the hell out of me with this. Check this out.
Linux log for Linux.
It's not Linux, by the way. It's Linux. And if you doubt me, here is Linus, who happens to be, you know, the dude who wrote the stuff, to tell you exactly how it's pronounced. Keep in mind, he's got a little bit of Finnish accent, and this is an old thing. Now, when you see him now, he actually just says, you know, the English bastardized or Americanized Linux. Here it is.
Hello, this is Linus Torvalds, and I pronounce Linux as Linux.
Someone went a little crazy with
Linux.
The audacity.
Linux log.
It's not Linux.
Linux.
It is.
Hello, this is Linus Torvalds, and I pronounce Linux as Linux.
It's been a long time since I actually heard that little cut there.
Yeah. Linux. And the other thing, and that, you know, what I'm saying is like...
Phone rings, all right.
For this every episode, man. But what I'm saying here is like...
We still have to pick it up one of these days.
He's
got on the show.
Yeah,
it's Pat.
He's got to give some, you know, it's going to add a little bit of credibility to his show if he can actually pronounce the name of the operating system right. You know what I mean? Just a little bit. But he also bastardizes SUSE. He calls it Susie.
Yeah, there's people in the lug that call
Susie
it Susie
Linux.
Too.
Susie Linux. And he says Susie Linux. And he says it over and over and over again in his show. It drives me crazy.
Maybe that was Adrian SUSE.
It was
Adrian calling it.
Yeah, right. It's SUSE. And you know what? I even went to the SUSE website today, and I dialed it. You know, I got their technical support number, and I dialed them up. It's an 800 number. And like they have some really dorky guy who's obviously never heard of the SUSE before. You know, one of them radio announcer guys.
Oh,
and he says SUSE. Like it's a say, it's a definitive say at the end. Welcome to SUSE Linux. But even that is closer than SUSE.
You called SUSE and they...
I called SUSE and
they said SUSE.
Yeah, the radio announcer guy that they hired to do their voice. Telephone message thing says SUSE Linux.
Oh my
and
god!
And I wish that I had, you know, if
Holy
I had
mackerel.
My little recorder. So I
just
could
put his RSS feed into my aggregator Snow News. Woo, 200 new messages.
Yeah, he aggregates all that stuff, man.
Wow, that's a lot of reading to catch up on there.
But I thought that was funny. I had to bring that up since you started out with the pronunciation thing.
We can thank Link for extending the olive branch to Adrian, and I'm sure he's going to be happy to hear all the criticisms.
No, I said I liked it. I do like the show. I just want him to say Linux, you know. And it's probably going to be a hard groove for him to get into now because he's probably been doing a year's worth of Linux, kind of.
Now, is he is his podcast basically the reading of his blog, or is it a supplement?
I think it's like supplemental to it, where you read off the topics, and he might interject some of his personal thoughts or whatever into it.
I look forward to.
It's still pretty cool. I listen to
pulling that down.
Yeah, I do listen to it, and it's in the whole of podcasting, which I'm finding there's a lot of podcasts popping up, man, and some of them are really bad. This one's not too bad, and I like to listen to it. The only thing that just kills me is that Linux thing over and over.
There's one out there that really sucks. That only comes around about once every 2 weeks.
Once every 2 months, yeah. Something about Dan's rants or something I've been thinking to myself, Dan must be having a really great time over there because I haven't heard a rant in a long time.
Or posting to the blog, except for yesterday. It was the first in 2 weeks.
I know, and if you read my blog, you'd know that because I don't want to.
I've been playing too much GameCube lately.
I'll get back into it once I get finished with my move and everything.
You're a freaking liar.
What, the GameCube?
No, the blogging.
You should be blogging about your move.
Blogging.
You want to know where I am with my podcast?
I should be blogging. I
just started listening to the October 25th Linux Link Tech Show today. That's how far behind I am.
Get out.
I am so far behind on my podcast.
Why do you have to listen to the Linux Link Tech Show? You're freaking here at the time, man.
Because, I got to listen to it to hear,
I listen to it at night after we do, after we do the show, when I'm uploading into, the mirror services or the mirror servers in the UK. I'll listen to it, Lloyd.
You listen to it after you upload it?
Yeah.
You stream,
I have it running in the background.
The UK.
Woo. Such a dork.
Yeah. Hey, I had some stuff to talk about today if you looked at the blog. One of the main things I want to talk about, and this is actually a Linux topic.
No way.
That after last week's
show. 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. What? Oh. After last week's show, I think it was that Thursday, I went over to, I just decided to check out NewsForge. Which I haven't checked out in a couple of weeks. And there was an article on there that linked back to OS News, apparently talking about a checklist of, 10 things or so that Linux, or 5 things that Linux needed to improve on the desktop before it could become mainstream. And he was really critical about it. And one of the things that he was complaining about is MPlayer and MPlayer plugin and how it didn't work and it crashed his system and it just was... Not up to snuff for him, which made me think, hey, I haven't checked out MPlayer plugin in a while. Why not? Why not indeed, Link? So I go out, set up my Soiret to look at the Linux packages repositories, and I Soiret MPlayer down. And the MPlayer plugin, which is what? The MPlayer plugin for Mozilla, Firefox. And... I've used this in the past, and I had problems. I did. It was about a year ago. It was slow. It had a hard time pulling down any kind of feed, particularly QuickTime. QuickTime, Windows Media, whatever. It would have to cache the entire thing, and sometimes it would crash.
So, you did not have MPlayer on your system at all before you got this?
No, I had MPlayer on my system. Up here, I did. I used MPlayer. But downstairs on... The laptop, the new laptop that I've been using? No, not at all. So I Soiret this thing down. I also went to MPlayer site and got the full codecs package. So I had every single codec available to MPlayer. And I went down and I went over to QuickTime website. And no expectations at all for this thing to work at all. I was blown away. I clicked that thing. It pulled in the QuickTime video and played it flawlessly, right where it was supposed to, and did it. It was just, it sent chills down my spine. I could not believe how good that this damn thing played. Yeah, just like that. And then I decided, okay, I got to take this to the next level. I went over to, I found a Windows Media file. And we had one off of our website at the district. I put that sucker in. The damn thing played better than the Windows Media Player on Windows when I looked at it on a, on a Windows browser. Pulled it in, not a hiccup at all. Played the damn thing. Worked perfectly. I was just so impressed. I came up here, and I installed M-Player, M-Player plugin on my machine up here. And now the gateway is like a gigahertz processor. This thing's only a 750.
Right.
Flawlessly. Played everything I wanted flawlessly. Full screen. Full screen video, man. Flawlessly. M-Player did. Not M-Player plugin. You really can't do that full screen because it's dictated by the screen. Well, you probably can.
Now, wait, man, because like I just happened to notice that I do not have M-Player installed on my laptop. So, you keep talking, and I'm going to get it.
So, which then prompted me, now that I had this, you know, for so long, one of the biggest problems I had was it sucks that I can't play movies that I see on the web. QuickTime, Windows Media Player, MPEG, no matter what.
See, and I never had a problem doing Windows. See, I use MPlayer all the time.
Right.
At home, but I, like, compiled it myself and did that whole thing. I didn't even know they had a package for it over Linux package.
No, I compiled MPlayer myself, too. But if you click on something, like, on a, that's embedded into a page, you usually have to download it to watch it.
Right, right.
This plays it right in the browser.
It goes right through the...
Right through the browser. You don't
right
have to download
Firefox
it.
Right through Firefox with the M-Player plugin.
And
right?
It works beautifully. Which then prompted me to head out there to archive.org and pull down all sorts of stuff. I got the entire run of Red versus Blue.
Yeah.
Which is great. So I spent too much time doing that instead of blogging. But the M-Player plugin, fantastic job. I cannot believe how great that they did it. They for those people out there who say... It just sucks that there's not a QuickTime player.
So I get like M-Player and M-Player plugin, right?
Right.
From here, downloading that.
And then there's
sucking them Dan's bandwidth.
There's also what else is there? look at the page. You might have to download a few other packages for dependencies, like two other packages, just to make sure you have everything. And it just works great.
Two other packages.
Now the question is. You know, the people are talking
page.
About Xsign or caffeine, and I've not used caffeine, but I've used Xsign, and Xsign works great. But
Zine, you Debian freak.
Zine, whatever. Zine or caffeine. I don't know if there's a. I've never heard of a plugin like M-Player plugin.
Okay,
for
wait. Back to M-Player.
Zine or caffeine. What
it says. Supported by a many native Xanim and Win32 DLL codecs, which are, of course, not included. So those are the ones you got, right?
Yeah, if you go to M-Player site, you can go to download section. You can get the full codec package.
Requires XVidCore, LAME, and Live DVD read.
So make sure you have those. You can just swap right those, too. That's just all you need.
I think I have Live DVD. Do I have Live? What's the easiest way to find out if you have Live DVD read?
Locate. Or look in your packages or USR lib.
Well, it didn't work for me, so.
What didn't work for you?
M-Player plugin.
Why not?
I don't know.
Did you put the plugin actually into your Mozilla plugins directory?
Oh, that would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would help.
Oh.
You got to manually put it in there.
So. It's been one of those days.
Yeah, good job, man. Look at him.
Well, always, I'm listening to you, and you're just like, I just installed it, and boom, it was there. You didn't tell me I had to install anything else.
Man, listen to him. Never satisfied.
No, I never am.
So then, you know, also another cool place to check out is what is it? TheForce.net, I think it's called.
The Force.
Let me double check that there. Is it TheForce.net? Yeah, TheForce.net is a great place if you're a Star Wars fan. If you're not a Star Wars fan too much, you like other kind of stuff. They have, that's another thing I checked out. One of the first things was the Star Wars Episode 3 trailer in M Player plugin.
I haven't even looked at that yet.
Because that's good. Because the guy said he could not get that to play, and I played it flawlessly off of Lucas's site. Is it good? You know, I don't know. Did you like the other two? The first two?
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah, I guess. You know, it's kind of more of the same. What are you going to do? Fan Films. That's what it's called. TheForce.net/theater, fanfilms.com. Fantastic stuff on there. One of my favorites was Grayson, which Faber pointed out to us, is a fan film, a clip of the story takes place after Batman's killed and Dick Grayson takes up the mantle and avenges his death.
Cool.
And they got, you know, they got like every character shows up in there. You got Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, you know, and then a bunch of ton of bad guys, the Joker, the Riddler, Two Faces in there. It's really, I mean, fanfilms.com is really cool.
The bad guy.
The bad guy. And I'm thinking to myself, this would be great if they actually made this movie. Unfortunately, the licensing alone, all these separate shops have their fingers in a...
be kind of prohibitive. Yeah.
So, and it's just a really great site, fanfilms.com. I'll put that on the link.
Yeah. What Dan said.
So, definitely, Linux users, check out the M-Player plugin with M-Player. Grab the codecs. Did you find the codecs and everything?
No, I'm still trying to update my database. I did do it, you know.
All right. I have the codecs on my machine. I just got to find out where they are. They're either in here or downstairs. Or I can send them to you.
I figured I would, you know, run that since I haven't looked. Looks like I haven't ever run that on there either. So, you know, what the hell. I'll do it. Use up all my CPU slices here. All at once. Right?
All at once? Yeah.
All at once, yeah.
I think that's what it's called. All of them, you get every single one, really. Oh, okay. We'll go on to another topic while you're sitting there.
Another topic.
It's just like both of you, like what I'm doing every week.
No, I'm listening to you now. I had the downloads. I have them going in the background, and there's nothing else I can do until I get my database updated. So, you know, my locate database, which I've never actually run, I guess. Tux Magazine. Did you guys see that?
No.
Yes, I saw it.
Where's that?
SSC, the guys who do, is it SSC, SBC? The guys who do the Linux Journal, they're coming out with a new magazine early next year, I guess, called Tux Magazine, and it's...
I think it'll be available in March, I think.
Yep, tuxmagazine.com, and it's geared for new Linux users and, like, primarily, like, desktop Linux users. And it sounds like check the link out. It sounds like it'll be.
No, I'm looking there right now.
It'll be the thing.
Well, let me put the link up.
Yeah.
Link on.
We should contact them to get a review copy.
Except they don't have anything yet.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they have something that they're pushing around.
I think they should fly someone over to do the show with us.
There you go. That's fly them over from where? Where are they?
I don't know. Wherever the hell they are. Brazil,
Washington. Or... Seattle, Washington.
Oh, Seattle. Well,
no, that's their subscription service. I don't know if that's what they actually are. $49 for 1 year. That's with the CD. $35.
That's with the CD. Oh, I might have
12
to
issues,
that.
12 CDs.
I might have to do that because, you know, it sounds like it's going to be an interesting kind of thing. And, we're not exactly Linux newbies, but, you know, I like to see, and I like to see the desktop stuff that they have going on, too, and I like to be aware of the issues that, you know, new users are thinking about, and they're not always the same as, like, they were when I started first using Linux on a desktop.
Well, yeah, I'll probably subscribe to that one, just because, you know.
Like so you can learn how to do all the stuff
so I can actually
missing out on all these years.
Plus, so I like supporting these. Yeah. I like supporting the open source kind of stuff anyway. So, and it gives me something to read in the shitter.
All right, the truth comes out.
Yeah.
You don't listen to your podcast in the crapper?
No, because I'd have to drag my laptop in with me, man.
Well, I figured you'd have speakers in there. And an LCD so you can export the video.
You know what? I would do that if my wife wasn't like, you know, my wife is king of the John. I guess that's her throne.
Yeah, I'm sure she likes you to broadcast that, huh?
I pick on her. I tell her, you know, I'm going to
We're going to tell everybody you're Queen of the John.
I put a sign on there once that said Michelle's Library or something like that. It was funny.
Look at that. Yeah, Michelle said, not only can you spend $50 on a subscription, you can get a subscription for Alan and I, and myself, too.
Yeah, my wife's on the IRC telling me to shut up.
That's great.
I love you, hon.
You know, speaking of new users, and actually, the other topic I had put up there today was spam.
Spam.
You know, for me personally, most of my spam gets filtered out. If it gets through Spam Assassin, chances are it gets caught by Thunderbird's junk mail filter.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not too affected by spam. Although, I see when I download my email, I've had the same account for 6 years now, 5-6 years. It's kind of loaded up. What's that look for?
I don't have live DVD.
Well, just swear at it.
Yeah, I'm going to have... Well, I want to see... I got to go back and look now and see what else I got to have, too.
So,
You suck.
I might get, like, 150 emails, and about 90% of them end up being spam. I guess all filtered out, but that's kind of a nuisance to me. All right? Now, I went to do some work over there with our buddies at DEF CON, and we're having a problem trying to get this one user... get her email from any other machine in the building. And we have it set up that when they check their email through Thunderbird, it leaves a copy on the server and doesn't delete it till they actually delete it from their inbox. So they can check it on multiple machines if they want to. Remember? You just shaking your head. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
It's a bobblehead.
Couldn't figure out why we couldn't get her mail. It kept saying that the password wasn't working anyway. So I go over to one machine she's been using for so long, and I click on the check the mail. Sure enough.
Dude, it says there's no freaking packages available.
Did you do libdvd read?
Yeah.
Swart get libdvd read.
No, I did Swart install.
I got the package off of Swart. I might even still have it. I think I deleted it out of my... I purged it already. Anyway, 8,000 emails. 9,000, I'm sorry. 9,000 emails to download. 95% of those suckers were spam. Mm-hmm. And they don't have a spam filter on their machine, on their email service. So I had to pull them all in. It took about 45 minutes to download them all. And then... to go through and then for the junk mail filter to run and filter out all the junk. Then I had to go in and manually click on those that the junk mail filter missed and run the junk filter again. You know, I do like 20 or so at a time, and it would clean out some. And eventually I got rid of all these, right? So I'm thinking everything's okay, everything's good. I click on get email again. Still another 9,000 emails in there. These are new ones.
9,000?
9,000.
That's a lot.
Jeez.
So there's like 18,000 emails in this account, and 95% of them were spam and junk.
Spam.
It was insane. And it got me thinking, you know, with the amount of spam that people get, how could you actually think that spam is functioning as a viable business?
Because there's a sucker born every minute, man.
Option. I mean, really, are they making money off of this?
Even if they only make a dollar every 300 emails, like how long does it take to send out 300 of those emails? A second.
Not very long.
You know?
But it's just
so
insane.
You know, and people buy these mass mailing lists where they get 300 million names or some crap like that. And, yeah, of course they're making money at it. Otherwise, they'd quit doing it. What it is you have to... you have to convince the retarded public that they need to not ever buy anything from an unsolicited email, and then they would stop after a while, you know? The mere fact that people actually buy this crap off of those emails encourages them to keep going.
Did you get it?
I'm downloading it off of Linux packages, man.
You found libdvd read?
Yeah, but I had it on Linux packages, I had it, yeah. That's probably what it is. You have your Swart set up so that so that you get packages from
right.
Linux packages.
That's
right?
What I said at the beginning.
You did not say
I
that.
Didn't I say that?
You lied.
I set up Soirette
lying,
probably
crap.
To go with Linux packages, and I swore it down. Anyway, what are your thoughts on spam there, combat spam? I know that there was that idea of doing like a token-based system before. Somebody brought up there was also, what is that, SPF? Was that it? Sender, whatever that was called, that you can hook into the mail server that actually verifies the domain of the sender.
Oh, yeah.
And that never went anywhere because I think what Microsoft borked it by not following standards. And it wasn't good.
Nobody wants to use it because it's got Microsoft standards in it now.
Well, not only that, but that's another, like, you know what I mean? It's a good thing in theory, but when you start thinking about it then, it's sort of infringing on your rights to send an email to somebody and be anonymous about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what if your boss is a real dick and you want to anonymously send him an email that, you know, hey, man, you're a dick. You know, if you have that stuff working, they can just go,
Well, you know, that's a good question. Why? I mean, really.
I mean, I can understand both arguments for it. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
And what I was thinking of, if you start doing something like that, a token-based system or making it require that somebody actually puts you in a list...
Mm-hmm.
And even with the junk mail filters in Thunderbird, my problem with the junk mail filter in Thunderbird, I mean, it does a good job, but it goes by that all or nothing rule.
Right.
When it first starts out, that everything is junk and you tell it what's not.
I've been using it for a long time and it's still picking crap out that's saying it's junk that's not, and it's still letting
I've noticed
a lot
like
of junk
lately, all of a sudden, either I'm getting a whole brand new set of junk mail,
right.
or it's actually stopped doing that for me right now because. I got 20 messages, and, you know, 20 of them were junk mail, and they all went to my inbox.
Well, I go through some spells like that, too, where I start getting stuff in my inbox that's junk.
Yeah.
And then I just, you know, and then the filter eventually works out. But the problem is, you really got to keep an eye on your junk.
Oh, yeah. I check my junk mail filter before I clear
because,
it.
Right? Because, you know, I think some of the stuff that came to the Linux Link Tech Show that I missed probably got filtered right into my junk. And that becomes a problem for general users are not sophisticated enough to be able to handle that, so they put up with tons and tons of spam.
Yeah.
And you end up with 4,000 or 5,000 emails in somebody's account, and they don't know what to do.
I can't believe having 9,000 junk mails.
It was insane. I got to go back again this weekend and clear out the other 8,000 because I ran out of time. Cleaning that stuff out.
It's bad.
It is. It's really bad. And if you're running
have you tried just deleting her account? Oops, I'm sorry. We lost all your emails. You'll have to start over again.
Okay, which one did you get, man? Did you get the essential codec package or the other binary codec packages?
I got everything. All.
There is no all. What the hell are you talking about?
Where? Let me see where
I
you are.
I think if you get the other,
I'm on,
I think if you pick up the other, that has all of them in there.
Well, there, no, the other would have the other in it, right?
There it is. Where is it?
That's all the codecs right
go
there.
Go to the download. Go to the download page.
This is the download page.
Yeah, but click on one of those things to download, like an HTC.
One of these, huh?
Yeah, click on one. It should take you to a page, and there's something called all. Dun, 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 dun,
wow,
dun.
This is fast, man.
Might want to choose another mirror then. Well, give it a second. There's one you'll see. It's the largest.
This document contains no data.
We'll choose another site.
I'm trying.
But it's... And the next thing I want
to... No, you know what? It's downloading a freaking tar file. It's not taking me to another page.
It's not taking you to the site?
No.
What's the file it's downloading?
Let me go to the page in Hungary here.
Look at that.
Well, while we're doing that, it's about time for
essential tar.bz2.
There's another one that's all of them because
I'll tell you what. Let's do the music now since we're running out of time, and you can come show me which freaking codecs you download.
All right. Well, then we'll continue this topic about spam
and then we'll talk more about
illiterate
spam.
Computer users.
But listen, the music we have tonight. Let me preface this by saying, we're gonna go to the mailbag real quick. Hi, guys. This is from the technical manager of Radio Streaming and Special Projects, who goes by the name of Rick Wesowicz. Boy, I hope I didn't kill your name there, buddy. Hey, guys, you played some Fluid last week. Excellent. Take a listen to Sonic Boom or Mercurial Girl. The whole album is excellent. We actually got that off of
Magnitude.
Magnitude, yes. That's why I have Alan back behind me, man. I can snap. He knows what I'm talking about. We got it off of Magnitude. Go there and check them out. They're really cool. Check out the rock section, which is where I went before we started the show, and I found a group called the Burnshee Thornside. Burnshee, B-U-R-N-S-H-E-E, Thornside. And we're going to play a nice tune from them. They have some blue stuff, so I thought it was really cool. We're going to play a tune from them called The Happy Blues. And here it is.
Ah, here's where you're off.
Woke up this morning. My wife came back. I said I woke up this morning. My wife came back. Haven't seen her for 15 years. When she left me, I cried a million tears. Oh, Lord, my wife came back. I guess this is a happy blues. Later that same morning, the sun started shining. Happy blues. The boss came by.
Yeah. Mm. That's it. Oh. What? Damn pop-up. Okay. Okay, here we go. All right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, take it off. Yeah. Go. Damn it. Come on. Oh, what's going on? Oh, yeah, okay. That's it. All right. Yeah. There, go for it. Put it on. Prep it all. Shit, shit, shit. All right now. Yeah, all right. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like that. Come on. Yeah. I know it's what you want. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Here comes the money. All right. Here we go, baby. Oh, I'm there. Okay. Crash! No! Explorer, no! Pop-ups have you missing the money shot? Get your porn the way it was meant to be. Pop-up free. Get Firefox. It's just better. www.mozilla.org.
Hey, this is Matthew Bischoff for Escape from the World, and you're listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yeah, you cut it off. Man.
I cut it off.
You cut it off.
I was like in a hurry.
You
fat fingered.
You shot the load a little too. You were premature in cutting it off.
Did you get
it working yet, Alan?
Yes, I believe
you
it
have
is.
You believe.
Well, it says M Player plugin.
There
I
you
believe.
Go. Did you get the codecs?
Yeah.
You got all the codecs.
Well, yeah, I had all those from installing my M Player in the first place.
I believe.
What do you mean? Did you get all the codecs?
I believe.
QuickTime.
Right.
Guys, yeah.
Yeah, you got all the
Linux
codecs.
Log for Linux.
Yeah. Well, now we got the caffeine versus M Player plugin war going on.
Hey, they want to know on the IRC if we're going to have a Christmas contest giveaway thing, and like we're poor, so probably not.
Unless someone wants to donate something, we can give away. Remember, we gave away that workstation.
Yeah,
what was it? The episode. The answer was they had to go to www.thelinuxlink.net/, and that the numeric value,
some kind of crap,
of
yeah,
the permissions.
Mm-hmm.
What we said.
It took quite a while before anybody got that.
Yeah,
one.
That took a lot.
And even then, they had to
took
have
like
help. You know,
five hints, I think, or six hits. Ooh, that was a long one. We should come up with another killer like that. Something that takes like months for somebody to figure out. All right. Yeah. Well, you know what I was talking about with the spam thing.
Spam.
One of the things that I think any kind of system that requires user input invariably fails for the majority of people because they can't comprehend how to do it correctly. Which then brings me to my experience today and my general overall opinion of 95% of all computer users out there.
There we go.
No, it's not that they're idiots, but they're just completely clueless. We had a training today that we did on OS X for some teachers. And the problem that we have with this training, I mean, it was just a basic overview of using the Mac and some of the applications on there on using OS X. What I had to do is, I knew one of the most important things is I had to go in and explain how to browse a directory. All right? Browse a directory so that he'd be able to know where their home directory is on a Mac, how to get their server share, how to access their server share, the mount, mm-hmm, through the OS X. But the thing is, even just trying to explain it simply goes over their head. So we have this big problem with, there's maybe one or two people who in that group who got it or knew about it to begin with. But then, you know, you got the rest of them, the other 80-90%, who really don't have a clue about this or can't grasp it, And it makes it almost impossible. If you don't have those basic fundamental skills of understanding how to use a computer, basic directory, to even begin to start doing other things. Other than point and clicking and running an application. But then they end up invariably, just like people who say they don't know how to even program their VCR, which is a very, very simple thing to do.
Right.
But they don't take the time to learn how to do it. You know, read the directions, follow that.
Programming. You have people that are going around for years and years and years, their VCR flashing 12.
Right.
<you know?
laughs> But
mine flashes,
I mean,
dashes.
That's a problem. I mean, we talk about people, you know, people always screaming about Linux on a DAO. Oh, it's too hard for people to understand, too hard for people to understand. Well, you know what? And everybody says how easy Mac is to use. People can't even understand Mac.
Yeah.
And they can't understand Windows. And it all comes down to, somebody goes out, buys a stinking computer, or goes to work, gets a job, they're sat down in front of a computer, and nobody teaches them actually how to use it. All they do is say, okay, this is what you do. You point and click on this application right here, and you type in your document, and you click save, and you click print, and you hope it prints, and you hope you save it, and you hope you can find it.
Yeah, but the problem is with that is there's also a lot of people who have problems doing that, too.
Well, yeah,
I work in a department with people like that.
Vast majority of users won't read the damn documentation, you know.
Well, you know, I work on sunboxes, you know, for my drawing stuff, and I know people in my department who don't know anything more than to log in and type cadence, and that's just that. And they've been doing this for years and years.
Right.
But that's just, you know, I went to one guy is like, he's got several processes running, you know, crashed applications that didn't finish up nicely. We'll go in and find them. I don't know how. You've been doing it for 5 years. Why the fuck don't you know how?
Oh, man. The F bomb was not needed there.
I needed it, though.
You needed it.
I needed it.
Yes. But it's true.
It's
stress relief
for the day.
You're right. How? What is the missing link here?
And we've taught people how to, you know, I've sat down with people, and I'm not incredibly intelligent about the whole damn thing, but I know enough to myself.
You heard it.
Myself.
Alan said he's not incredibly intelligent.
I'm a user. I'm not a system. You guys are system ins. I'm a user on it. But, you know, at least I have pay attention enough to go, well, gee, this is what I have to do if something suddenly crashes. I'm wondering, scratching my head going,
there's a big difference. You are not a user. You know what's going on. Listen, today I got a tech call. In fact, I got three tech calls from the same person. This is from a woman who has her computer at home, who is telecommuting. Note that they don't want me to do this. They don't. Oh, Link, we don't want to have you telecommute. But they'll let this other person do it. This person called me up, could not figure out how to type the URL in the address bar in Internet Explorer. Could not. Three tries.
Well, the
three
first problem is you're using Internet Explorer.
Yeah, three phone calls. Couldn't get it to work. Okay? Can't get it to work, right? Doesn't type it in. Finally, in the last one, I had to, you know, do the whole, well, okay, go through start, run. You see the little white bar there? Type it in there. And then it finally came up.
And then she realized she didn't have her keyboard plugged in.
Oh, man. But yeah, that's the kind of people that... That, to me, is the level of user that I'm used to working with. You would be a refreshing change. You know what? I also have a woman at work that cannot double-click an icon. Cannot. All right? She clicks them really, really slow.
Uh-huh.
So, like, what happens is I tell her, okay, you got to double-click this icon to start the application. And she'll click it, and she'll hold it down long on the first one, and she like drag the icon all around the screen. So she, you know, she can't double click it the second time because she can't get on the damn icon because she has dragged it off into a different corner or something. So I had to, you know, after practicing with her for like 50 minutes on how to double click, I finally had to tell her, okay, single click when the icon is blue, press the enter key. You know, that's the kind of user I'm used to working with. If I got a user like you that I could say, okay, log in and go into Cadence and, you know, check your process list or something like that, that would be wonderful, man.
Have you seen this
good
one? Oh, go ahead.
What would be good on it? You get an application in Windows, just like running in the background. It duplicates their desktop, and every time they go near an icon, it moves it away on them.
that would
be great.
They actually there's
there has to be something out like do that.
There are tricks, and I've done that to people where
every time they go near Internet Explorer, it pops away.
When you click on when you start to go to a an icon on the desktop, and you go to click on it, it'll move it out of the way, so you can't click on it. Another thing
every
to
time
do,
you install Firefox, that should be yeah. That should be installed with it. Every time they go near the Internet Explorer one another, on it, it moves it across the screen on them.
Another fun thing to do is take a screenshot of their desktop, and then you remove all their icons off the desktop, and you set the wallpaper
to be
the screenshot, and they sit there, and they're clicking and clicking on it, and nothing's happening, and they're like, that's funny. But have you seen this? If you say to somebody, hey, can you, you know, give me a copy of that folder, just copy that file, put it over here. And what they'll do, instead of copying the file, like if it's a Word document, they'll go
write
in,
a shortcut
find,
over.
They'll go in, start Word, find the document, and then click Save As.
Save As.
Yeah. It's like, you know, all you have to do is just copy. You can just right-click, select copy.
You
can
like,
drag
you don't
it
to
over
touch the keyboard for that one. You know?
You know, just copy. Not it's wild because people do all this funky stuff because nobody's ever sat down and told these. I mean, there's some users that you sit down and they still don't get it.
But is it really the fault of the person who didn't sit down and try this, or is it the fault of the person who doesn't want to learn? You know what I mean?
Because any application you're forced to run every day, you should at least learn.
At that point in time, if you have been working at a place and like part of your job function is to send an email, it would behoove you, whether they teach you or not, to learn how to send a damn email.
Yeah.
You know what? If you're assigned a computer to work on, you should know how to use the mouse and double click, and you should be able to put a URL in the address bar of an internet browser.
Yes, yes, I agree.
These are really, really basic things, man. You know, if you can't get those accomplished, you really should. I'm convinced you should have a license to use a computer. You know,
but
if you don't have the license, you're an idiot, and you're not. You know, they give you paper and pencil instead, and there you go.
Yeah, but you should learn how to use it. Definitely. But shouldn't it be the responsibility of the organization that hires you?
No, it should not.
Either one, verify that you already have those skills, or if they agree to hire you without them,
they definitely should verify that you have the skills.
And if they're going to hire you with the expectation that you use this program, they either hire somebody who has those skills or are willing to train them, and they need to do the training correctly.
Yeah, but isn't it? Wouldn't you think at this point in time that you could expect the vast majority of people to know how to use a web browser?
You'd think.
You know what I mean?
But it floors me.
It
floors me all the time that I see people that are my age or younger who don't know how to use a web browser.
Yeah, but we're techie guys, and we run into that stuff a lot. And I'm just thinking, you know, what about like the average human resource person who usually is retarded to begin with? You know, and when they say, do you have computer experience, you know, to somebody who's 70 years old, that might have been, you know, the big fancy electric calculator they had when they were, you know, in their 20s or something. Yeah, I have computer experience. Oh, well, here you go. Here's your brand new whatever the hell it is, you know, and your job will be to send emails and do this and do that. But, you know, I don't think it's too much to expect the vast majority of people to be able to do really uncomplicated things like send an email or browse the web. But, you know, if you can't do that, there really is a problem.
Yeah.
You should not be allowed to touch a computer. And I'm not just going to say that it's like regular, you know, regular office users and stuff like that and grandmas and things that have that problem, because I encounter a lot of upper management that has that problem
boss,
too,
yes.
You know? The pointy-haired boss really that does not know what's going on. Like,
well, it's true. That's a problem.
I mean, how do I start up my AIM? AOL Instant Messenger? Yeah. How do I start that up?
But, you know, that is a problem. Where I work, I mean, they really push technology into the curriculum, and mm-hmm. everybody has a computer on their desk. Majority of those people were never trained properly on those computers. And training is an option, not a requirement.
Yeah.
And it's an option where the people, basically it comes down to, well, if you're not going to train me during work hours, you better be paying me after. And you know, they don't want to pay. They don't want to pay extra. But then, you know, where it ends up costing is the people don't know how to use the computers properly. And then...
But isn't like isn't that some of their responsibility?
Their responsibility for what?
To learn the tools that they need for their job. You know what I mean? Like, you're not talking about like walking on a job and somebody saying, okay, we're going to hire you and we want you to use this milling machine. You know? Something that you would never have at home. Like, you know, none of us here have, like, a giant car-sized milling machine in our basement.
Got one downstairs right now.
Yeah, sure. If we went to work somewhere and they said, well, you know, part of your job is to be using this milling machine, you would want to learn it. But that's a whole different ball of wax than, you know, you should know how to use the internet and stuff like that. Because that's something that's available to the vast majority of people, and most people have that in their home. So you could expect that they would know how to do that, or
yeah, but
they could learn it easily by themselves.
How many users have you seen that go to a website by Googling it or searching the website instead of putting in a URL?
Yeah.
If you're a lot of AOL users, I see them do that all the time.
Yep.
Instead of putting it, because half the time you can't even find the address bar in an AOL browser.
Right.
And they want to go to a site, they'll put it into a search engine, and they think that's the way you get to a site, and it's not. It's not really the proper way to do it.
Right.
But, again, the question is, you know, like, I work at a school district, and we have teachers. Now, are teachers hired based upon their capability of teaching a subject and running a class?
I would think so, yeah.
You would think so. They are. But there's an expectation.
Except for some of them that I went to school with.
There's an expectation that they also have, you know, be able to use computers. Now, is that a requirement for them to be hired, that they know how to use a computer?
Should be.
It should be, if that's the case. But then you have a problem. You have fully qualified teachers that excel in their field who might not have those computer skills. So when a push comes to shove, are you going to turn down a teacher that excels in all the expectations except computer skills because they don't have those skills for a teacher that has the computer skills? It might be not as, from a technology standpoint.
By definition, if they're a teacher, they should be able to get, you know, if they do not have a home computer, they should be able to get one and pick up on some basics really, really easy. You know what I mean?
Like I said,
you're not asking people to go out and learn like nuclear physics overnight. This is really simple crap that's available to you in your home. You know what I mean? You're not.
If they want to learn physics, there's always that Britney Spears physics site.
Well, maybe the problem here isn't so much as being able to learn, as being able to learn.
You know
the
what
right
I'm saying?
It's
not a specialized skill.
Right. But you know, you take a person who doesn't have any formal training, who sits down in front of a computer and starts to learn it themselves. You tend to get, on average, a person who ends up with a desktop filled with crap and knows how to do things like get to a web page by putting it into a search engine.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they have skills and they've figured out certain things on their own, but they're not really doing it the right way.
Right.
So then when you ask this person, you know, copy this file over to here, they have no idea what you're talking about. Even
right.
though they can they can save bookmark websites that they want to go to that they find in a search engine and click send and everything to send their email and open up email and get the viruses all over their machine.
Mm-hmm.
This wonderful application that they have. They're not being trained properly. And maybe part of the reason when you look at stuff like Windows or even OS 10, you never see them talk about proper places to save files. It's, you know, point and click, point and click, point and click. And point and click is great, but if you don't have any basic understanding of what's going on or how to, you know, structure your files, save your files, where to save it, how to copy and stuff like that, then you got a problem there.
Yes, indeed. Therefore, I am in favor of giving everybody a PC test and denying people access who are stupid.
Or at least electric shock.
Electric shock would be good, man.
Well, that's true. And you know,
drop it in the wrong folder.
Exactly. It's brought up by SLK Mac that most people are afraid of their PCs and are, you know, don't want to experiment. And that's true. I see that all the time.
Well, that's Windows' fault, though.
Because it's so easy.
That's
to
Windows'
fuck
fault because it's so easy to royally hose your system. You know what I mean? Like, if you run Linux and you're logged in as a normal user, like you should be, the worst you can do is that user is delete your own crap. You can't hose your system doing that, you know, unless you're logged in as root. And that's another thing. I've seen a lot of, you know, like the new, some of the new Linuxes that come out that put you right in and they give you root access with no password and crap. You can really screw stuff up with that. But that's for a different show. And we are...
Well, you know what?
Over time.
Speaking of that, this was interesting. OS 10 today.
I'm going to shut your mic off, Dan.
Hold on. OS 10 today.
Yeah. OS 10 today.
What's interesting is you have to, like, if I want to install an application, I have to put in my password. I don't have write direct, you know, not as a full root.
Right.
In OS 10, but was kind of funky is today. I was doing some writing some scripts and making applications and. For logging into the network and mounting the servers automatically. And for some reason, I kept having it automatically mounted without asking me to log in. And I figured, well, I must have put it in my keychain somewhere along the line. So I went into the keychain application. I couldn't find it. And I closed it out. And I deleted all the applications that I created. And I started writing new ones. And what was interesting is somehow in that process, I deleted the keychain app out of my utilities directory. And before I knew I deleted it, I had emptied the trash. So it was gone permanently. And what got me about
because
that is I was thinking...
Because you do your backups, right?
On my laptop? No. I have everything that's critical, that the documents and everything.
Everything that's critical
gets backed up on the server. I don't worry about the applications so much because applications are always restorable. But, you know, that's an incident right there. I'm thinking, how do I restore this now? So I figured I'd pull it off another machine, which I had problems doing. I had to tar it up because it wouldn't let me copy it over for some reason with permission stuff. But that was odd that it allowed me to delete a critical application without even asking me. But yet, if I want to install an application, you know, like a Firefox or something, I got to put in a password to do
yeah,
it. So it was kind of wacky there, but we got it back. Anyway, just
that's
some
just
stuff
another
that
reason that
throw
Linux
out
is better.
There.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, before we go, real quick, Thanksgiving episode next week. What are we doing with that? We're gonna record a show for next week sometime over the weekend because none of us are going to be here.
Yeah, probably Saturday. Are we going to stream
Wednesday.
It while we record it?
I don't know. Are we going to? Yeah, why not?
No skin off of our machine here.
Let's do that. So, hey, listen, guys, if you're going to, you know, if you listen to our stream live when we do it, stick around on the chat. Check us out on Saturday. And that's probably when we'll all get together and do it. We'll do the show, and then what are we going to do? Just stream it over and over again until next week or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's anyway, what we're going to do.
Stream what?
Stream our next week's show
the
over and over
show
again.
Special
from Saturday
weekend
on.
Edition.
Well, I figure once we'll probably. My guess was we're going to do the show. I don't know about whether we're going to stream it or not, but I'd just update the RSS feed on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it just like it came out on Wednesday instead of on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, check us out. If you can pop in and out on the chat, maybe Saturday sometime one of us will pop in and say when we're going to do the show. You can all join us again then.
Well, I'll put it up on the blog, too.
Yeah, and Dan's going to put it up on the blog, man. All right, listen, everybody. Have a great week. Thanks for listening to us.
Thanks for listening.
I'm Link.
I'm Alan.
Dan.
Bye. Linux Link Tech Show.
Linux Link Tech Show.